is be the head quarters. As a, no, like as a repaired place, and it all looks really nice, and yeah. you have his room.
Yeah.
Or you haven't found his room. Like, because he didn't tell you where it was.
No, he didn't.
No, you know where my man is.
And Janet. Janet knows the room.
Which is why I gave you the hat and told you to put the dagger in the hall.
Yes, I've got to remember them left, right.
Oh, shit!
Now, Janet knows how to get in there.
Janet might be. I don't want to.
Unless when I die, no. Janet's like, I'm free!
Oh, my God! Woo-hoo! Son of a bitch!
What's up and welcome to this week's episode of How Not to Summon a Dungeon Master. This is the exit episode and a bit of review on the system for DC Universe's Mutants and Masterminds. Shall we get to the crux of the issue? What did we think of the system?
Fucking shite.
Yeah, look, the combat system's terrible.
Yeah.
And so complicated.
Hence why you cut out most of the combat. Because
yeah.
it just is so boorishly long and unnecessary.
It makes no sense. The combat system makes
you
no
hit,
sense.
You might not
I get the idea of it. It's like Batman can punch Superman. Superman wouldn't take any damage. So, you know, rolling to hit, a hit doesn't always mean damage. But there must be a better way to do it than what the fucking did here.
Just stick to D&D stuff. How D&D combat works.
AC.
Well, hit and miss is very easy. This is, I get the whole hit, but can they take the hit?
Yeah.
But don't have it so mathematical.
It's just complicated. Over
big numbers as well. Like it's not, they're not small numbers.
No, everything like being a D20 and so large. Like you when you're in the mindset of D&D and you're like I rolled a 15, it's like, oh fucking well done.
Yeah.
You're in this, you're like a 15, it's like, oh fucking that shit.
Yeah.
And it's just like in the early days it was like, what do you mean? I rolled well. Like that's an 18, and I'm like, yeah, but when you can roll 30s, that 18's kind of mid.
Yeah,
and it's just
with
fucking,
the stat boosts they all have. It's just
shocking system.
It makes the rolls pretty much pointless a lot of the time because you're just like, okay, I go to hit him, and then I'm like, fuck yes, I got a 19. Yeah, well, it hits him a bit, and I'm like, well, just what
it
the
does itself no
roll?
Favors because you could literally make a superhero game on a D&D system.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
you could
reflavor D&D spells and stuff to be superhero stuff, which would be a lot easier than fucking run immune to masterminds.
Can we not do that next time?
We're gonna do when we do a sequel, which will happen. It's in the works. I'm writing it. I think we'll switch over to maybe Marvel's system or something.
Yeah,
to
try something different.
Try something different, but stick with the story.
Change the system.
Yeah.
Obviously, one's dead.
Yeah.
One is gone.
He's don't worry, there's plans in the works for all this.
He's not dead. He's
not
lying.
In Jim's car.
Lying. I told you, I refuse to believe that Humphrey is dead.
My file will never get erased.
I didn't actually ever erase it at the end of this, by the way. It's still there.
You're still sus.
I'm still like 10% sure it's him.
I also don't like the different types like awareness and
it just doesn't make any sense. Just stick with a standard array. It works well.
Perception.
Yeah, like I know what that means. Do I perceive something?
Yes. Not fucking awareness.
Stealth.
Intellect. It's like I know what that means. Yeah. Am I intelligent enough to know stuff?
No, but they had perception.
But it's a bonus optional thing.
Yeah, it's a bonus thing. So not all characters have an extra two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you don't have eyes.
No. And the weapons having two different things.
Oh no!
Inside the box and one outside the box.
Yeah,
one
of them's the actual number because you use like a 150 point array to get powers for a power level 10 superhero.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to put those 150 points into something. So if you make a ray gun and then put 10 points into it, that then does 10. That number in brackets is a 10. But then you've got to transfer that number to another number using some math that's only in the middle of the book fucking somewhere
on
one page.
Cross-eyed.
And this is where the problem comes from. You've got to do that for 150 points.
Fuck. No, thank
you're
you.
Just like, no.
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 You're not.
But, and if
I've got a ray gun.
You can do it from level one, but then you are literally just like, you've got a handgun.
Yeah.
And then you can't go up against memorable villains like the Joker and you know, the Reverse Flash and Grodd and the rest. They're out of your league.
Yeah.
There's no challenge in it.
It just seems...
Not that you want to fight anybody because you don't want to get into combat because it's shit.
It would take away from the fun of playing the game because you're so trying to do all the fucking maths behind it.
You lose the moment, don't you?
It's about pacing.
It is,
yeah. It's about pacing. Yeah. When you look at the combat system and the way we went into it, you probably, guys at home, can hear it. when we go into a combat, everything massively slows down.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we're like, and so I've got this number, and what does that yeah. do for this? And he's like, well, give us a minute while I work out on this.
But don't get me wrong. We do that in D&D, but everyone knows what they're doing because the system is easier to understand. Quicker. Like, yeah. if you go, I'm going to use Vicious Mockery, like, I roll this, and then this is my damage.
Yeah, and, this and I'm done. You're like, yes or no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same with anything in D&D. I know what I need to roll, add that, we're done.
You just give it a bit of flavour.
D&D goes a bit fucking askew again.
Oh, yeah, anything level 12
like,
up.
I've got this to counter this, and I've got this, and it yeah, takes once me this long getting, to work like, out this spell. But
counter spells and yeah. fucking smites and stuff like that yeah. really late on, it becomes a bit bogged down. But nowhere, even like beginning of this, nowhere near as much as this.
No, system. This was immediate.
This one, you may as well put the kettle on and make a cup of tea while you work out what the fucking next move is, because it's so slow.
Our sounds first right. combat, if you remember, was about 40 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the skills. The skills as well. Like we said, just basic ones, easy to read. Mm. Like, you did parry and this, that, and the other. And
yeah.
I'm just done with all those skills. Like,
yeah.
Like,
just do
it.
An unarmed strike and a weapon strike.
What does a punch do? What does a gunshot do? Good. Yeah. I'm good.
The best way to have termed this is, you sort of had to let your DM sort of run any combat the way he wanted to do it.
Pretty much.
That was pretty much the way it went. Like, you understand that, yes, your roles will affect the way that the combat goes, but the DM really has the ultimate say. So if you roll something and Grayson was like, yeah, actually, no, I kind of want that to happen, or you make it sound cool, like yeah. an actual comic book hero sort of thing. You're like, okay, like me with the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I was like, right, I'm going to ride that thing and slam it into a bunch of dudes in the first episode. And you're like, you can't do it, but God damn it, I like the idea, so it's sticking.
Yeah, and it just, the entire system revolves around, like you say, that superhero vision that you build in your mind. Yeah. And it's bad at it, though.
Yeah. The only thing it's I agree so on bad is hero at
it.
Points.
Hero yeah, points hero is points the best are brilliant. Thing in it. Yeah. I can change a scene. Not just I can re-roll a die. I can change and alter something. That works really well.
I agree
well.
With
right.
that.
100%. I think I used one out of this entire season.
I used a lot.
Yeah, in fairness, I think I only used maybe one or two.
I used a lot.
They're really good. It's just obviously you forget they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used them because actually my character didn't have the powers that you guys had.
Yes, yeah, true.
And I was like, yeah. do you know what? My character would need the extra edge for these certain situations, like yeah. getting into the actual blooming crime scene of Batman, having a tape recorder of what was going on. I was like, all of these things would suit my character, and they helped me push my narrative of the story that I wanted, whilst also not losing Grayson's and everybody else's overall
vision
of what they wanted
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So it brings us on nicely. What did you make of your characters? What did you like about them? What would you have changed? What did you want?
I'll let you
what
go
you
first.
Ended up with?
No, I mean, I was extremely happy with Humphrey. It played into what I prefer to play into anyway. And his development as well. I went in, I think the first session, I went in too strong with him. In the terms of murdering people immediately, and because initially that was the thought behind what I was going to play. I was going to play this guy who was, I don't care if I kill people, I'm undead. But then I thought about it further, about how progressing his story would happen. And I was like, I've gone in, and it was a regret that I went in so strong early. And I should have had him conflicted about killing people from the word go, really. So that was my regret with Humphrey. But overall, I think the development of him was there. I'm happy with him.
You found humanity again.
Yes, yeah.
Value
and
to humanity.
After
as
that
well.
Initial blip in that first episode, I think I put him on the right arc to then yeah. get to that point.
I actually disagree that it was a blip, though, because when you actually think about your character and the way he would have been regressed from society for so long, he comes out into society and he's like, yeah, I will
he's
kill
gun-ho.
People. He's gun-ho.
It.
But then he meets two characters. One of them is the one extreme and one is the other extreme, and all of a sudden you get the ideas of society again.
And that's why I had him say what he said to Rumble Tawny at the end of the whole, from the minute I met you and realized what you were about, you instantly reminded me, it clicked straight away, you
yeah.
reminded me of the person from all that time ago that I
Jim,
cared so
Jim's
much about.
That, like, I've got to do a job. And it doesn't matter how it gets done, as long as it gets done. And Tawny is the opposite end of that. She's like, no, we are superheroes. We have a responsibility.
And that's what clicked for my
and
character.
Flitting between the two, is yeah, it made sense for you to bounce, because they were such strong polar opposites.
Yeah.
That you kind of getting pulled.
And I was either way. Yeah, I was. I had my conflict with Noir, and then I had my chats with Tawny, like on the ship when we had that chat on the ship, and I was like, look, he would have been proud of you. You don't have to think that he wouldn't be. That, you know, slowly Humphrey showed humanity throughout. There were moments and moments and moments until finally the big bad's right there. And what does Humphrey do? He sits on him.
Yeah.
Doesn't kill him. Doesn't actually.
No, I loved it.
Like, doesn't hurt him in any way.
We planned the ending for your character very early on. Like, I think I did a couple of sessions and you went, I want to go with this. This is the ending I want.
Yeah.
We need to make that happen. And you not beating the shit out of him just made sense for your kind of finishing your change.
Yes, yeah.
Because you didn't resort to violence, you didn't pull guns off, you didn't hit him, someone else took him down, and all you did was then restrain.
Yep, that was it. I ripped off the controlling device that was controlling him and then pinned him to the floor, and that was all I did. And because that's what Humphrey was about at the end.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense.
Tawny?
Yeah.
Fran, should we talk about Tawny? / Rumblebee.
Yeah. I mean, when I was choosing the character, I wanted to pick something to do with bees. So I went with a Tawny bee. Went all out with my little bumblebee computer thingies.
Themes, yeah.
My Minecraft bumblebee. And
your Minecraft bumblebees.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, when we were talking about endings, because we talked about possibly me doing a speech, I actually felt like the part where I probably could have had a speech, just that moment of like Bumble Boy and then him saying Rumble and me in tears, I think that was enough. I don't feel like having a full-on speech
I don't think your character's designed for speech.
No, I don't.
It's very much, this is the job.
Yeah, your character's very black and white in the sense of, I know what good is and aimed for that at all times and wasn't one for bravado and look at me performance.
Yeah, the suit probably weighed more than on you than anybody else.
Yeah.
But putting it on and just going, no, we got to get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoke more about your character and her classic superhero mantra rather than showboating and, you know, modern superheroes where they're all monologues and stuff like that. Yours was just, no, put the suit on, we get the job done.
Which was what Rumble was.
Yeah, which is exactly what it was. Stern, cold, do the job.
Yeah.
Do it by the rules, leave.
I feel like she got justice in that way. Like, I don't feel like, I think a monologue would have been too much. Even though the original plan was for me to write one.
Yeah. I think
I feel like this has gone the better way. And I
all it needed was just one person to just go, you're Rumblebee.
Yeah.
And Tawny was and Rumblebee is emotion.
Yeah.
And that's what you portrayed, especially in the final two episodes when you put the suits on and everything. Yeah. It was all emotion based and that's what your character is.
Yeah.
Driven by that.
And I feel like that went a hell of a lot better. And I'm really proud that that's what I brought to it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Boy. Green Lantern.
You all surprised me.
Bill Withers. What was his name?
Mark Weathers.
That's it. Bill Withers. Sunshine, she's gone. Bill Withers.
What the fuck?
What?
Ain't no sunshine when spring it's gone.
When you're not strong.
That's what he's singing to himself. I'm singing
in the shower. I'll be your friend.
No, he's sat in your little chair. He's got a little acoustic out.
He's wearing your hat.
Ain't no sunshine
that's the
when
opening
he's
to the next
gone.
Season.
You guys. Him depressed.
In my manner. And Janet's like, you really must
just
get
whiskey
out of the chair.
On the side, empty bottles everywhere.
I've got a chaser.
No, Janet. I miss him so.
I just imagine me sitting in the same coffee shop on the corner in Green Lantern suit. Ain't no sunshine. Keep the change. Strolling down the same street.
So what do you think of your character? Where he went, where he came from, background, ideas you had that maybe didn't come to fruition, some that you didn't have that happened by accident?
Everything happened by accident. So I am bad at being bad. Everybody knows that I am
bad. This is why you play the paladin.
This is why I play the paladin, the healer, pretty much everything like that. I am a bad person at being bad. But this time I decided, fuck it, I'm going to try and be the bad guy. I'm going to be the guy that is a bastard, basically. And it worked, I think. I came into the campaign with no clue of actually where I wanted to go with them. And I probably enjoyed that more because it gave me the freedom to choose at the moment what I wanted to do with my character rather than planning anything out. So it was all spur of the moment, perfect for my character. Everything was off the top of my head, basically. If I felt like I was going to do this, I was going to do it. If I was like, no, I don't think I will do this time, then I didn't do it. I mean, flashbacks, that came to me just as a thing of, I was like, no, it makes sense for my character to have these. He has a dark past and he has a past that needs to be told, but I couldn't think of a way that...
No, the flashback worked really well.
Your most pivotal flashback was the drop the gun one.
Yeah.
Where the wife said, like, don't fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
And you choose to drop the gun. That was your most pivotal moment.
It worked really well.
But the point was that my character would never express these. So it made more sense to be an internal struggle than something that was seen externally by everyone. It needed to be something that was dealt with by the person.
Internally, yeah.
Internally, rather than as a group.
Yeah, yeah.
So like a lot of things were dealt with externally in this season. So a lot of Tawny's issues were right there, dead centre. Everybody knew what was sort of going on with
Once the death of Rumble happened.
Yours became more and more evident and prevalent the more and more we went into the season. You began to show more and more, didn't you?
I did, yes. Yeah, and I gave up information more willingly the further we went as well. As if like...
Building trust.
Yeah, I was closed off and I would keep a lot secret, but then eventually I was like, no, look, I know about the protocol, I know this, I know that, come and have a look at my trophy room, like, I've got nothing to hide, I don't want you to think bad of me anymore.
And I mean, my character, I went into it thinking, do you know what, I'm going to have him be like, fuck Batman. But as I started going through it, I was like, I feel like he would have clashed with Batman, but not in a bad way. For him to have become the person that he was.
I imagine it'd be like two musicians trying to play on the same stage.
Yeah.
I felt like when you were like, when the realization hit you that, look, Batman is just a man, you sort of stopped for a second and went, he is just a man. And I've been blaming him for everything.
He's just like me.
Yeah, when he is literally me. And you could have just have easily got into a batsuit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're what happens when you don't have the money to do the training, to get the equipment, to build the Batcave.
Mm. I still had the background.
That's what happened. You are that character. You are the Batman that is a, what if he wasn't from a privileged background? What if he wasn't a rich white boy?
You're a Batman Green Lantern.
Now your Green Lantern is going to be brilliant because you get to play a very gritty, down-to-earth Green Lantern. Who has this horrendous past. I mean, Hal Jordan's a free-flying, fast-mouthed test pilot.
Yeah.
You know, Carl Rayner is very serious, but he's not... That's all he is. He's just, you know, serious. John Stewart, sorry. And Carl Rayner's like a school bully that turned into a Green Lantern. Like, your version is going to be unique.
Yeah, because it's going to be very original. I haven't resolved... everything.
Yeah, your willpower comes from your background.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
comes from Gotham. It comes from the Lost. These other guys, their willpower comes because they were good at being a test pilot. He just wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
You know, that lack of fear.
Well, what you've got is you've got a new Justice League that all have completely different personalities to any of the old ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely.
And have to learn as well.
And that is the thing. It'll be a case of my guy going forward. Even though he's got to this point, which was a point of almost like, you don't have to kill everyone all the time. There is another way.
But you'll also have...
I've still got the thing of, no, but I still will kill people. Yeah.
You'll have us there.
Mm-hmm.
Green Lanterns are allowed to.
Yeah.
Like, but you'd have us as your conscience. Like, I would still be there to try and guide you to not kill people. To be a superhero.
And this is the thing, like, I now have emotional baggage as well, on top of the already crippling emotional baggage
but
I had
before.
For the
first time since the death of your family, what you've got is essentially a family.
Yes, yeah. more of support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, God knows what it's going to be like when I come to terms with you no longer being there, a person that I finally had been like,
I like this dude.
90%
sure. It's more that you'll recognise when Humphrey's presence isn't around anymore.
Yeah.
Like it's more like you always when a joke, were aware that Humphrey was
that's
there.
That's because you play this the mouth.
Yeah. You when know, a joke the, isn't being made.
Yeah. You're the mouth. Like everyone, the other two, you act as like brains and bodies and brawn and everything, but you are the one that you channel voices through.
Yeah.
So that being void from the team is going to be difficult because yes. You've got a Batman that doesn't want to talk because he's Batman. He's supposed to be dark and brooding and he'll try and imitate his father. You've got a Green Lantern that's dark and brooding and gritty. That's a man of few words and more action, and a brand new superhero who's taken on a mantle that's probably far too big for her. Not that she can't.
But that
belief
weight.
In herself might cause a problem for her, so she's not going to speak up. She's not going to be so forward, especially as confident as Rumblebee was. He walked into a room and it was like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah,
doesn't matter who it was, who he was standing up against. It was like, this is the plan. You're going to fucking go down and you're going to try and take that place and learn to be that when all you've been is a sidekick.
Of course, yeah.
So it's a team that all have still ongoing issues.
Yeah.
Even though they've been brought together. Which is also why I made Humphrey do his speech, not just to these two, but he spoke to Tim.
Yeah.
And he spoke to, well, very briefly to Bumbleboy, but more to Tim.
But it makes sense to speak to Tim, but not Bumbleboy. Bumbleboy you shared one moment with, you didn't know who the fuck he was before this week.
Didn't he particularly like him at one point?
Didn't really like him. I think there was a lot of similarities you saw. Yeah,
now, when he lost Rumble was when Humphrey's attitude changed. When he saw the grief. And the one thing that hit Humphrey was the loss and the grief that people feel. So the minute I saw Bumbleboy feeling grief, that's when Humphrey went, now I can associate with him on that level. And I understand. And that's why I had his attitude completely change the minute that happened and he went through that.
Yeah. But even at the end, he was cheerier, happier.
Yes.
Like he needed someone to be his mentor.
Yes.
And he was never going to find that out of the suit.
I think one thing I loved with my character was the red strings. Just
the conspiracy theory and the notes I really enjoyed.
They were my...
I wish you physically had one of those detective flip pads and genuinely made notes. Because that would be such a cool thing to share with like the audience of like screenshots or pictures or something.
You didn't want to see my brain. My brain for about... Every time we came to a moment where I had to do a bit of investigation, the red strings were everywhere. Like everyone was a suspect. I was like, am I a suspect all of a sudden?
We all had our quirky bits.
Yeah.
My favourite bit was the tech. I know, but I loved the tunnel bit when you got electrocuted. That was one of my favourite bits.
Favourite bit?
Yeah.
What's the favourite bit? The tunnel, you jumping the gun thinking you're indestructible, then falling into a tunnel and going unconscious 3 steps in.
Yep.
Fucking hilarious.
100%. One of my favourite bits.
I am nothing but gun-ho. It's fine.
My favourite bit? The interaction between me and Humphrey when I'm standing there and I'm accusing him that he's potentially the guy that's killed everyone, and he actually comes around to my thinking. He's like, hold on a minute. Yes, I do have all this stuff. am I the killer?
It was you're making good points. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, or I can't even see my own hands.
I'm going in the book again, aren't I?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, there was a couple of those little one-liners where...
See my own hands one is peak.
I do really like...
Right up there.
The bit...
You forced
with
my hand. I can't see my own hand.
I really like the door bit when you tried to unlock the door and he can't remember it.
The sconce sequence.
The realisation of, shit, he's dead now. We can't get in that room. Although Janet knows it. That moment before.
To be fair, Janet...
The unsung hero.
The unsung hero.
You don't know how she's going to turn up again. You don't know.
Janet's canon now in this whole thing.
I want her to be a cleaner in the Justice League.
Janet knows more than any human should know.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get rid of her. She's more than her. She knows too much.
I think one of my favourite moments has got to be the death of the Joker.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And the fallout after, the way that you described how everyone was feeling in that moment, almost like time had frozen.
Shell shock took over. Yeah,
and the whole sequence behind when when Humphrey turned around and went, that's the consequences of your actions. And that being another turning point for me as my character as well, and seeing consequences and actions. And I think that whole sequence really hit hard.
Dido in the rain was good.
And it came across really well. I think it came across really well. And when we edited it and added the music to it and how we did it, it was fantastic.
And it showed off one of our halves. One of the ways we try to be different.
Well, that's what we wanted in the first place, why we do a D&D podcast, is because we're tired of those constant comedy D&D plays. So we wanted to throw some spanners in the works and do the other emotions.
I mean, for goodness sake, we've had Fran cry twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, in about two episodes.
And what we've had is we've had that sequence with the death of the Joker. We've had your Joker speech, which is another thing that takes you well away from normal tropes.
Meeting Ra's al Ghul as well.
Yeah, the whole race sequence. I really like that. The dolly with the projector on it, which reset the palette again.
Yeah.
But
I really, really like that.
Yeah.
Like, just meeting him as a character was different, because he is a different character to the Joker and the rest of them.
That's the whole point of this one, is that I know these characters so well, being a huge comic fan, that I can really lean on my knowledge, like you do with The Witcher, because you know it so well because you're a big fan. It's something I can fall back on.
I mean, Katana was fun as well.
Build.
Like, having that whole sequence with Katana was brilliant.
Oh, no, do you mean Thingy from the sewers?
Ravager.
Oh, you mean Ravager?
Yeah, Ravager.
Deathshot.
Yeah, that's the one.
Deathstroke.
Yeah, Deathstroke. That was the one. That was a fun sequence, because we all thought we were going into a fight.
Yeah.
And as soon as I opened the door, it's an old lady. I was like, cup of tea then, I guess. anything else? And the amount of times that I was looking out for this bugger lug at stealing things from places rather than anything else.
But that's what I meant about us having tropes. So you had your technology, you had your investigations and your red string.
The conspiracy theory.
And I had my collection.
Yeah.
That I was always tending to.
Was there anything we didn't like, guys? Anything we would change?
Anything you would change? Anything you want to go back and maybe do differently?
Just the combat.
That's a good question.
I said I'd probably tone down my first killing soiree spree into killing and have it have more of an impact on Humphrey.
If I was going to do it as Humphrey, I would have maybe talked to them first, and when that didn't work, fine, fuck off.
Yeah, and then I think I would have made Humphrey feel maybe away from everybody else, have a bit of a hit of
a reflective moment.
I've killed somebody and I promised I'd never do that again. And then that could have led to his arc being better. I think I would have had him just take a bit more of a serious note in shooting these people that he just killed. That would be the bit I would have changed, definitely, very early on.
I think mine would just be being a bit more like Captain America. Like, being a bit more forward and a bit more forceful in that we are superheroes. We do not kill.
Putting your foot down.
Yeah, and a bit more louder with my voice about it.
That can come, though, now that you've got the suit to back it up.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you've now been given this suit as a gift because you're deemed worthy of it now.
Yeah.
And I think that can lead to your character having this position of, no, 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 I am worthy. I can put my foot down with these people.
Yeah.
And I think that can be something you can build on.
Yeah.
I have a change that I probably wish I'd been able to bring in, but it was more through the development of my character that these things came about. More of an interaction with Barbara Gordon, because she would have probably known who the hell I was.
Well, that's something you can fix going forward. You can.
She's still about.
Yeah, you can be like, what? Where's the Green Lantern? And you could just be enjoying coffee on top of GCPD with a bat signal on. Yeah. Like, that's when you're in Gotham, that's where you spend your time, not in the Batcave.
But it
doesn't interest you.
Yeah.
But Barbara does. So I think you can bring that in retroactively.
Yeah. I think when we were on the rooftop, there should have been. But it was more of the fact that I hadn't established what sort of character my guy was going to be. And it was more of the next episode where I actually brought in that. No, this guy was an investigator, and he is that sort of guy that worked with GCPD. I was like, Barbara would know who I was.
Yeah.
Rather than me standing on the rooftop and letting you guys.
I mean, are you going to play it as secret identities as well? I mean, because we never actually touched into the whole idea of being a person and living a.
Mine was never really secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my name got mentioned.
But now you've got the powers of a lantern. Are you going to adopt this second persona?
Are you going to hide your ID, or are you going to
Or are you going to do an Iron Man and be like, I am Green
Lantern? I am Green Lantern.
I have nothing to lose, really. So it would make more sense for my character to be that I am this guy.
It just means, I think that means you're just committing your full time and life to...
just being a lantern. Being a hero.
Being a hero.
But you get the luxury of, you don't just look after Earth. You look after a sector, which is a huge expanse. Stuff. You go off planet all the time.
Sweet.
Missing on other adventures with...
sweet.
Other Green Lanterns looking after the essentially a part of the universe, not just one planet.
But I think it makes sense.
So your character will have such a huge, vivid experience.
But is also going to have a massive leap. I think that what we're saying about my character, he won't realise the sort of character he needs to be as Green Lantern until we get into the next season. Until he actually establishes himself.
And we need to establish how much time's passed.
I haven't worked that part out yet. We'll obviously, we'll all come to an agreement with how much time passed, because there's no rush. There's no, doesn't need to be X amount of time. It doesn't, it could be days, it can be months, it can be years.
Mm.
There's really no rush.
I'd like to see a large jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people allowing you guys to settle into your new roles. And taking them on as new characters with that growth behind it, and just assuming that that's what's happened, and picked up a few members of the Justice League on the way.
I'm already getting
Because you'll obviously have to grow as a league. You need more members.
I am already getting cogs turning on actually how far developed my character would be and good. Stuff like that. And
it's a good
like, this is the thing, you sit there and you're like, okay, now I'm starting to think of that.
We've had discussions about my next character as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
And,
because we'll be making a new one.
Arthur, fast fingers.
His son. His ghostly son.
Junior.
From London, England.
We haven't settled whether or not you're going to see Humphrey again.
But that's not really up to me.
Yeah. I hope not.
If it's appropriate, then we'll make it happen. If that opportunity doesn't pop up, we won't make it happen.
But we've had chats about my character and how they're going to be.
I can't even see my own Humphrey.
You can't.
No.
You can't. Didn't even get a picture of me before I left.
You wouldn't appear.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I can show my form if I need to.
Yeah, but do we really want to see that?
You'd just be one of those ghostly orbs that people always send pictures of.
Oh, yeah, one of those little white ones.
Yeah.
That's Humphrey. Or it could be a speck of dust.
You sent that picture of Wolverine holding the photo, like stroking it. That would be Jim's character with a picture of you.
I'd love it. It's pretty brilliant. There's pictures of me at the manor. Portraits.
Yeah, actually. There'll be portraits, yeah.
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking of ideas. That's why my brain's starting to turn.
But that shows that regardless of the system and how much we didn't enjoy it, we made it enjoyable because of how we played it. You know, we still had fun developing these characters and turning them into what they were. Regardless, we had many laughs, regardless of the fact of how difficult this bloody system was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
the system really held us back, I think.
Yeah,
We could have done a lot more, especially with... like, it's superheroes that didn't fight that much.
Yeah.
Which is a big problem, and a problem I recognise. But it's without really boring our audience, the combat would never have worked.
No.
Like, you heard it. It was like, oh, yeah, we've got to add this and do that. And like we discussed it all in the beginning. A different system.
Our fun was make a role play.
Yeah.
Our fun is always a role play.
Yeah.
100%.
And that's what we're just going to try and bring every time. And in any... different facet as well, not just making you laugh.
Anyway, we're going back to Stabby Stabby Kill Kill next time.
Yeah, so we're going back to the Witcher season 2.
Yeah, boy.
A lot more is going to happen.
Yeah, and we'll put out a trailer, I guess, at some point soon.
Well, a trailer.
Yeah, we'll put out a trailer
like a reminder episode, like a catch-up-y previously episode.
On The Outsiders.
Leading into on that note, it's time for us to chuff off. All you summoners can join us next time for our intro episode into Season 2 of The Witcher, which will also be released at the same time as the first episode of The Witcher Season 2. If you've got any questions or queries or just want to see what we're up to, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at How Not to Summon, or join our Discord at How Not to Summon a Podcast, or go to our Linktree to find all our links, or go to our brand new YouTube to find all our sexy vids.
Sexy vids.
Sexy is a strong word.
That is a very strong word.
I mean, you can
listen
to the podcast on your TV if you haven't got Spotify.
They might like the voices.
Sultry tones.
The same voices. Exactly. Anyway, no, you edge to it. You go ahead.
I have been, for the very last time, everybody, Humphrey Fastfingers Spriggott.
Pour one out for the Spriggo.
One for my hoobies.
Don't forget the Spriggott Sprouts.
The Spriggott Sprouts. That sounds disgusting.
And I've been your DM, Mr. Grayson.
And I've been Tawny and Rumblebee.
And I've been Mirror Noir, now the Green Lantern.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
See you later.
Ta-ra.